All right, look in your Bibles, the book of 2 Peter tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read just a few verses here, then we'll pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, your will and able stand tonight, and we'll read these verses and look at the thought God's placed upon our heart for this evening, and I'm glad for the Word of God. Amen, and I praise Him for it tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse number 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 15. Bible said, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for each one that has assembled here for this service tonight. Thank you for the good choir singing, the special singing, the primary choir singing. I thank you for it all. I pray now for just a little while, Lord, that we'll allow you by your word how to speak to us, instruct us, guide us, help us by the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst, Lord, they're lost. They're on that broad way. I headed to the lake of fire. I pray tonight that the Holy Ghost would convict them and draw them to the place of salvation. Help us as your people. May we leave here a better Christian. May we serve you better in the coming days you allow us to have. And everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 18 and 19 tonight, where the Bible says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I'm going to preach tonight, the Lord helping me, for just a few minutes on this subject of something more sure than a mountaintop. Something more sure than a mountaintop. As Peter is writing this second epistle, he is referring back to the transfiguration of Christ during his earthly ministry. And in that event, there's some things that we can learn. There's some excitement about that event. But Peter is writing to these believers and writing to us and reminding us there is something more sure than the mountaintop experiences that we have in this life. I'm glad tonight for the mountaintops of victory, the times of great blessing, the times that we shout it out and we feel so good, so refreshed and charged, and it's good, and I'm for all of it. I'll throw gasoline on it the best I can. I love the mountaintop experience. But you know something tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we don't live there. Amen. We're in the valley of the church age, and there's something more sure than all of your mountaintops I brought together, and that is the Word of God. Amen. Now look at here tonight as Peter is talking. We see first of all the mountaintop in verse 16 through 18. And again, Peter is referring back to that event that we call the transfiguration, when Christ is transfigured before them on the top of that mountain. Now there's some things I want to look at just a minute about this experience on the mountaintop. There's some people there. There's Jesus there, naturally. But then there's Peter, James, and John, often referred to as the inner circle of the disciples. There's many things that the other disciples were not there to witness, and this is one of those events. Peter, James, and John are singled out and allowed this special experience on the top of that mountain. But there's two other fellas show up too, and that's Moses and Elijah. You say, how can that be? Weren't they dead? Well, Moses was. Elijah never died. You say, you believe that, preacher? Absolutely. I believe God took Elijah out of this world without him ever tasting death. I translated him, changed him, and took him out. Amen. And there's Moses and Elijah. And get this, Jesus talks to them on the mountain. Amen. You say, what did they talk about? They talked a little bit about his death. Amen. And no doubt other things they talked about. But we find the people that were there. Not only the people that were there, but think about the privilege of being there. You see, the Lord was transfigured before them. Now, I'm just going to give you good Bible stuff tonight, and I'll help you down the road. We know Jesus was wrapped in flesh. That's right. And we just come through Christmas, and I really stress to you, Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. Jesus was with the Father and the Holy Ghost back at creation and before. Amen. But there in the womb of Mary, Jesus wrapped himself up in human flesh. But I'll say this, without a sin nature. Amen. Jesus could not sin. He didn't have the blood of Adam. He had the blood of his Father God. Amen. Well, there on that mountain, after those years and days, Jesus wrapped up in flesh, the glory broke out on Jesus. You think about that. That which was inside of him came to the outside. And Peter, James, and John were privileged to see the glory of Jesus Christ right there on the mountain. Hey, can I say this? We may not see him visibly tonight. I'm glad for the manifest presence of his glory. I've been at church and I've been in my study a few times when God let me taste a little bit of his glory. Amen. Hey, I'm glad for the glory. Aren't you? I've never liked nothing dead. I still don't. I don't like dead spaces in services. That's why I jump up and get to talk. I don't like sitting there in the silence. I just never have. And if a service's dead, it drives me crazy. Amen. I like living things. Amen. My take on dead things is bury it. Amen. Nothing good comes out of dead stuff. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for a living Lord who will manifest his glory to us. Amen. I know there's a crowd, you get talking like that, and they say, I thought you was Baptist. I am. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. Yes, sir. I'm one that's been in the presence of the Lord, just like you have. Amen. Hey, we find that he is transfigured before the glory broke out on him. But not only was the Lord transfigured, but imagine being there and the Lord talking to Moses and Elijah. Now, there's some things in the Bible that boggle my mind. There's things in the Bible that stir up my heart. Boy, that's a passage right there. I said, boy, I wonder what that'd be like to have Moses, the one that God gave the law to, and Elijah, that great man of God, that great prophet, out there on the mountain with Jesus, and hear them talking. Now, I get tickled sometimes when somebody gets together, goes to talking, and somebody else is kind of on the outside of the conversation, and you see them kind of, you ever seen that? Hey, leaning over there. I've seen young preachers do that, and older preachers were talking there. They get leaning over there. I tell you what, if I'd been there, I'd been a leaning, wouldn't you? Had to hear what they had to say, what they were talking about. And Peter, James, and John, they are privileged to be on the top of that mountain. I'm telling you something, I've had some mountaintop experiences, but not quite like that. Amen. But oh, the privilege that they have. We see that experience of the mountaintop. But also let me talk about the excitement of that mountaintop. For you read Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, you'll find this transfiguration event recorded in those three gospels. And Peter got excited. Amen. Matter of fact, Peter jumped up and said, Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. Amen. Hey, sometimes Peter gets a bad rap. I understand he could say some profound things and then he could say something that wasn't so profound. But so can you and so can I. Amen. I sometimes have an open mouth insert foot syndrome. Amen. Hey, Peter's excited. He's worked up. Hallelujah. It's good to be here. Can I say something in our day in the church age? Man, when the manifest glory's there, I get a little emotional. Matter of fact, I get real emotional. Amen. I get stirred. I get excited. Amen. I like getting a good case of the can't help it. Amen. I like it getting so big you have a hard time just getting the words together to say what you want to say. Amen. But you know what also in that, sometimes in excitement, I've probably said a few things didn't make a whole lot of sense too. Amen. I mean, you think, but you've heard this before, no doubt. Man, getting the glory. Boy, we worked up. We excited. Boy, God's manifested his presence to us. We're basking in it. We're enjoying it. And we might sometimes get kind of revved up and our mouth outruns our brain. You ever accomplished that? Have that happen in your life? That's me a little bit. And you might jump up and say this, bless God, if you ain't a feeling nothing, something wrong with you. You ever heard somebody say that in a good glory service? We mean well, bless our hearts. We mean well by it, but our mouths just outrun our brain. Because everybody in a service don't get the privilege of getting in on it. Amen. Sometimes you can be a believer like a little child being weaned by mama off the bottle and getting that child where the child doesn't love mama for the bottle, but loves mama for being mama. Amen. Sometimes God will do that to you as a Christian. Sometimes I've been in service before and I know the manifest glory of God was there, but I wasn't really getting in on it that much. Amen. And maybe that's happened to you before. Can I say something? Sometime in our excitement, we could say something that just ain't all right. Amen. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles. Lord, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Amen. I mean, he meant good. Amen. Don't knock Peter too bad. He just excited. Amen. I've heard folks say a lot of things. I just say, Lord, bless them. They mean well. Amen. Hadn't you? You probably said a few, just don't want to admit it. Amen. Oh, but Peter's excited about the glory. You know, I have been this. I'll say this because it happened to one of my family members done this. We was in a service one time. It was going pretty good, but the preacher was preaching. He was having a little voice trouble, and he made this statement, Brother Tim. Y'all pray for me. The devil's about to get my voice. Well, I had a family member. Man, they meant well. They was worked up. They was excited and hard. Let him have it. Amen. Good encouragement. Wrong choice of words. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? That's what Peter did on that mountain. He got all excited and he wanted to stay there. Let's tabernacle. Let's don't leave the mountain. Let's build some tabernacles and stay here. Well, hey, you're not going to stay there. Amen. We find there was the excitement of the mountain. But hey, there was also the education of the mountaintop. Because God rolled the curtain or the door of time, opened it up, and spoke into it from eternity and said, "This is my beloved Son," speaking about Jesus. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." See, they got educated real quick. It ain't about the mountaintop. It's about the Lord. Amen. Hey, the mountaintops where we're shouting and boy, we're feeling it. We got them God bumps we talk about. And I have that sometime. I ain't against that. And boy, we get talking about, I'm just an old country boy, so I kind of have country talk. I get talking about my heart and soul cutting cartwheels. I like feeling that way. But you know what? There's also them services, I hear the good Holy Ghost say, "Hey, you may not be cutting a cartwheel, but how about listen?" Amen. I hear what the Lord's got to say to you. Amen. We find that Peter and James and John, they enjoyed a mountaintop experience with Christ. But hear me now, you have to come down the mountain. I got looking real closely again today, and I've looked at this passage before, but I underlined it in my Bible in all three of those places, Matthew chapter number 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. I underlined in the beginning of that, they went up into a mountain. The Lord took them up. Aren't you glad God will take us up? Boy, have you ever been in the valley? And son, before you know that God took you up, got on the mountaintop. But you know what? Before the story ends, said they came down. Yeah. Amen. I like what one fellow said about them words. It came to pass. That's good stuff. But there's also you got to come down. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's good to go up, but you're going to have to come back down. Amen. Hey, the Christian life is not being a zombie going through this life and boy, you're just floating along. It's everything rose. Hey, there are experiences that get up, but you're always going to come back down. Amen. Are you following along with me all right there? You get what I'm talking about? Hey, thank God for getting where the glory's at. But hey, it ain't all glory. There's some rough patches in this thing going to heaven as a child of God. Amen. Hey, we find that we'll come back down. Now, ain't nobody likes coming down. Amen. I don't. Now, if you like the valley, you're a whole lot better Christian than anybody I know. I like the mountain pretty good, but I don't live there. We're going to come back down. So Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, is reminding of an event in his life. Hey, he said, "I was on that holy mount. I was there. I saw the glory. I heard them talking. I was there." But Peter said, "Hey, there's something better than that mountaintop." You say, "What in the world? How could something be better than that mountain?" Well, we see the mountaintop. Well, second, look at back at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. There's the manuscripts. What do you mean, preacher? Look there at verse number 18. At the end, it talks about when he was up on that holy mount, he was with the glory. But verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. This Bible is more sure, is better than all your mountaintops. Amen. And I am not minimizing the glory. We are not leaving the glory behind. But we're going to enjoy what's better than the glory is the book. Amen. Hey, some services, we've done been there since I've been here and you've been there before I got here. At those times the glory is so strong, we shout and we run and we jump and man, we have a good time. But friend, when it's not at that place, what do? You still have the book. You still got the manuscripts. A more sure word, better than your mountaintop. You say, why? Well, think about the manuscripts also. I've done looked at the mountain a minute. Let's look at that, the manuscripts, the Bible. Can I say, first of all, remind you, the Bible is inspired. Amen. That word inspired there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All. Guess what all means in the Greek? All. It means all in the English too. Amen. All scripture, not just some of it, but all 66 books are inspired by God Himself. That word inspired means God breathed. Do you understand that Bible you have in your hands, your lap, sitting beside you? This Bible is alive. It is not a dead letter. Amen. The breath of God breathe life into this book. Hey, I know it. I don't hope it. I know it. God inspired. Hey, ain't that wonderful? You talk about a love letter. You ever think about that? Praise God. I read every bit of it, and He keeps saying over and over, I love you. I love you. Hey, I'll tell you this. You get finally down in Revelation chapter 22, you find a postscript, I call it. You know, that's after you wrote to him. Do you remember when you was in love and dating? Some of you been married and it's old and done forgot it. But you remember them days. Boy, you'd write them love notes. I love you. I can't wait to see you. Boy, hey, we'll go here on Saturday. We'll do. And when you get done with, have you ever put a P.S., a postscript? You ever done that? And you write a little postscript, I can't wait. Amen. Do you know what Jesus did in Revelation 22? He gave you a postscript. He said, surely I come quickly. Now that right there made my heart cut a cartwheel, boys. Amen. Hey, He said, I can't wait to be with you. That dawned on some of you tonight, they'll call the law down at your house. Amen. To understand Jesus is saying, I've given you 66 books and I'm going to wind up telling you again, I can't wait for us to be together. Amen. Hey, why? He inspired this book. Every bit is God breathed. But let me say this also, the Bible is infallible and inerrant. That's right. Yeah, that word infallible, if you don't understand that word, ain't never heard that, that means it's incapable of error. It means it's dependable, that it's reliable. Hey, this Bible can't even halfway try to have a something wrong with it. It's perfect. Hey, man, it's inerrant. Maybe you don't know what that word is. That means free from error. That means without error. Oh, there's some try to find them. Oh, preacher, don't you know that Bible's full of errors? No, you're full of errors. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with the book. I've had them try to pull out about them kings. You ever had somebody tell you about that? That one king, the Bible said he's a certain age in one of the books, and then another one said he was another age. I got news for you. He was both. Amen. He started out younger and somebody helping him while he was younger, and then at a certain age he took over fully. Pretty easy to understand that if you get in there and study. Amen. There is no errors in this King James Bible. None. You hear me? You don't need another version. You need to read the book again. Amen. This Bible is more sure than all your mountaintop experiences. Hey, not only is the Bible inspired and the Bible's infallible and inerrant, the Bible is immutable. Now you say, preacher, what does that mean? It's unchangeable. It's not capable or susceptible to change. Now men change, Lord have mercy. We change on a lot of stuff we won't do or believe, but this Bible is forever, Psalm 119, verse 89, forever the word settled in heaven. Amen. Hey, this Bible is immutable. But hey, listen, this Bible instructs. the Bible tells us, instructs us in the way of salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it instructs us in separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it instructs us in sanctification. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it instructs us about the Savior. For we find Jesus on the road to Emmaus, those two. He opened the scripture and began to expound about himself. You said, preacher, I want to learn more. I want to know more about the Lord. Get in the book. That's the best place you ever going to start. Hey, the Bible instructs us. And then let me say this also. Listen to this. The Bible incites. That word means to urge to action. That word means to rouse up, to stir up. You see over there in the book of Jeremiah, I thought about this verse earlier today in Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 9. Oh, Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9, he's wanting to quit. The Bible said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. What happened? The Bible excited the heart of Jeremiah. Hey, do you realize there in Luke 24, those two on the road to Emmaus, as he opened the scriptures, the Bible said that Luke 24, 27, then down into verse number 32, they, after the Lord's disappeared, he showed them his hands, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Why? What done it? Because he is opening the scriptures up to them. Hey, can I say something? The mountaintop's good. It's wonderful. But when there's no feelings of any kind, when you have no God bumps, when you don't feel like shouting, when things are against you, when things are not going well, I'm glad you can get in this Bible, and the more you read, the more you meditate, after a while it begins to incite, it begins to stir up your heart. Hey, it'll help you on a dark day in your life. Amen. Hey, something more sure than the mountaintop is the Word of God. I'm going to give you some things and I'm done. Listen to me what I'm saying. The experiences, our mountaintops, come and go, but the Word of God remains. Did you hear that? Listen to this. Experiences fade, but the Word of God remains. Amen. Experiences are subjective, but the Word of God is objective. The experiences, now listen to this, and I really want you to hear this. Experiences, mountaintop experiences, may be interpreted in different ways by the participants, but the Word of God gives one clear message. Preacher, what does that mean? Well, what you said there can be interpreted different, that mountaintop. There's a bunch of us in here tonight, aren't they? Do you understand in the service you see things that I might not see? I'm talking about when the glory's there. And maybe too, maybe in our spiritual life, we're not where we want to be or should be, and we're not on the same page with everybody else, and they're enjoying the things of God. And one said, boy, that was a great service. Somebody over here said, I'm kind of confused. You see, an experience can be interpreted different by everybody that was there. I've been in service, I thought it was the greatest thing I'd been in. I thought preaching was awesome, and I've had people call me up, I didn't like nothing that man said. And I'm thinking, were you in the same building I was in? You ever had that happen? It happened to me a lot. Hey, man, hey, what happened? It was their viewpoint. It was their viewpoint. Hey, your experience can be interpreted different by other folk, but the Word of God got one message, and it don't change. Amen. Hey, listen to this, and I'm done. What we remember, now listen to this, what we remember about our experiences can be unconsciously distorted, but the Word of God remains the same and abides forever. Do you understand after a period of time? Now, I love looking back at times in my life where God's let me get in on the glory. I am thankful. Again, I am not minimizing that. I'm going to promise you something. We get in the glory in Jubilee, I'm going to do a shuffle. If it embarrasses you to death, I'm going to do it if God let me. I'm ready to get in every service. I mean it. The glory falls, I'm a jumping. Amen. You stand off on the sand, I'm a jumping in. Amen. Hey, but you know what? You look back and sometimes you begin to forget things that went on in the service as time goes on. You understand what I'm saying? It was good, but you began to lose a little bit of that because you got other memories beginning to form as well. But you know what? I can pick this Bible up when I was a child and it said the message from God. And I picked this thing up at 48 years old and it's still saying the same thing. Amen. It ain't changed. I'm just saying, enjoy your mountaintop. Shout all you can shout. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't like all that. Well, I promise you there's other places they don't never do it. Amen. That's right. You can find, but I'd rather stay right here. I like being around folk know something about the glory. I mean that. But I want to tell you this, when there's those long spells in between, I'm just going to enjoy the book. I'm going to let this book do something in my heart, in my life. And that's what you need to do. Young Christian, enjoy. I'm going to shout all can. Shout all you can. But in between them shouts, get as much of this book in your heart as you can get into your heart, because it'll keep you going when there ain't no shout. Amen. Hey, it's good. It's good to be a part of a Bible-believing church. I mean that. You see, we're our guidelines, this book. Our worship, everything, is this book. It's not anybody's idea. It's what the book teaches us. Amen? And I find in the book where God will manifest himself and you enjoy it, but also find the just shall live by faith. That means when there ain't nothing going right, ain't nothing way you like it, you just walk with God anyhow and believe God anyhow. Amen. Hey, something more sure than a matter of time is your Bible. You say, preacher, there have been a lot of things you've been going back hint quite a bit, coming to the Lord and about the Bible, because you're going to need it more. We need to be reminded Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. Don't you ever lose sight of the blessed hope. But I also want you to remember you can trust this Bible in a day where people are changing ideas and changing what they believe. The Bible does not change. And I'm going to say this, and I love you. I love you enough to tell you, if the Bible says it, we're going to stand on it. If it don't say it, we can either agree to disagree or whatever you want to do, but those things I'm not going to get to fight over, but what this book says is it. These young folk are being taught more and more that there's no rights and there's no wrongs and all this stuff going on and getting all kinds of wickedness and perversion shoved down their throats. What they need to be told by us is go to the book. What's the book say about the issue? Amen. Hey, the book will stand. Matter of fact, on the day of judgment, there in Revelation 20 at the great white throne judgment, it said the books are opened. What are all that? Well, one's that the book where saved folks' names written. And if your name ain't in that book, you're going to be cast in a lake of fire. There's also a book of all the things you have done as a lost person that is going to be brought up against you. But another book's going to be this Bible. For this Bible is what revealed to us we were lost. And it was this Bible that told us that Christ came, died, was buried, and rose again, and wants to save. Amen. You'll face the fact God gave the book. Amen. Hey, I'm glad for the blessed Word of God. It's wonderful to my heart. So you say, preacher, been a little different today. Yeah, but been good. Been good. Stop myself. I'm going to say that. It's getting gooder. Amen. Getting gooder. I like it. I like getting around the book and around God's people. Amen. And allowing the book to have its way in our lives. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the reminder of that wonderful experience of the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain. But also Peter learned as he grew older, there are some things that's even better than that. And one of those is the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the word that you have given us your inspired, infallible, inerrant word in the English-speaking world, in a King James Bible. We thank you for it. Help us, Lord, grab what the book's got for us and serve you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand tonight. I just preach you what's on my heart. Maybe you're on that high mountain place. Boy, enjoy it. But you'll have to come back down somewhere. Maybe you are down in that valley right now and you've been reminded you've got something that'll help you in the time that you're walking in the valley, and that's the Word of God. You need to learn to stand on the Word. Peter, we talked about when he walked on water, you realize what he was doing was walking on the Word. For Jesus said, come. So Peter stepped out on that Word. You said, but preacher, he sunk. He did when he got looking around. But guess what? He did have to walk and get back in the boat. Had the Lord rescued him there, he walked back in that boat. Amen. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? You can live and stand and die by the Word of God. Let's sing now. If you got needs, you come.